Here we go. It's Hour 1, G-Back Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We are live, Comerica backyard at the Globe today. DeGrom on the hill. Welcome in. It's a Game 6 Thursday. Yes, we have 4.5 hours to talk about all these big sports items with you. General at your service, at ease. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander is back home in the Pimp Cup at Master Control 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go 4.5 flawless. You got Woolchuck and Schiafalo here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. Ruben Portillo, remote engineering. As gentlemen, this is an enchanted evening here with DeGrom on the hill, silver boot time. We rekindle this series, and it just brings up so many memories. Mostly just how much of a stranglehold the Astros had on the Rangers. Oof. Right up until that fateful 2023 ALCS. You thought you had them. They go up 3-2, but they couldn't win at home, and they didn't have any lefties.
Yeah.
So you win Game 6, you win Game 7, and I think as of now, you have bragging rights on these Astros. And it's sort of a wrestling match to see who is going to reign at the top here this year. They're tied right now, aren't they, in the West? How the Astros do last night? They're either tied or within a half game.
Yeah, they're up a half game, I believe it is. Second in the AL West right now is Houston at 22-20, and then the Rangers at third and 23-21. It's a big game when you look at, you know, you're past the first quarter mark, and now you're kind of, you know, you're jockeying for position in that American League West, and it's time to bring the silver boot back home. I just watched one of the pump-up videos the Texas Rangers put out on social media.
That's why you're so pumped up right
now.
Dude,
I'm freaking fired up. Like, not only do I think I could drop the gloves and really start going at somebody right now. Tonight, just being here inside the Globe, it's a DeGrom night, and then they're going with their best, and Hunter Brown, who's had a tremendous start to the season for Houston. I'm fired up, dude. It's a Stars playoff hockey night. Can we wrap it up? And then it's game one of the Silver Boot Series. You can't ask for much more.
My goodness. You have Woolchuck with his fastball plus right now.
I thought he was dipping back into the Mountain Dew Jack D situation, but this is just sports craze.
I'm just freaking horny.
And it's flowing through his body right now. I can tell.
I might have heard a hint of Bully Melrose there a few sentences ago
you know
as
what?
Well.
Sometimes drop the gloves.
Sometimes it's tough. You know, I'm trying to weave it in and out. Now it's just kind of becoming a part of me.
Yeah,
you're a thespian.
I love it. Well, I also love that it's First Responders Day here presented by Globe Life. That includes a custom first responder cap. These are those special theme night tickets. When you buy one of those, you go home with the limited edition item. And Brian, speaking of theme night, it's LSU night on Tuesday, May 27th in the game against the Blue Jays. There's an LSU Rangers jersey, and then the Red Raiders aren't left out because May 30th is Texas Tech night.
Yes,
that has a Texas Tech Rangers jersey.
Wreck 'em.
I'll tell you what, man.
You know they do these things nice.
Would it be odd just to buy the tickets, give them away, and just get the jersey?
I mean, I think it'd be a cool bit.
You think it'd be worth it to me to do that? I'm debating right now to buying a couple of premium seats, maybe give them away, but to make sure I get the jersey.
Can you click an option where they mail you the item, or are you planning to give these to friends who will then bring you the item?
I'm hopeful that maybe I could get the friend to bring me the item.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
What if we did a show deal with it? You know, we got a G-Bag National.
Yeah.
Ended up getting the tickets, but the one caveat is they got to make sure that they get you that jersey.
Well, Chick, let me ask you a question real quick.
Yep.
Do you think they have a jersey that fits me?
No.
No.
I run into this problem all the time.
That's what I worry about. I think it's going to be a beautiful LSU Ranger-themed jersey. Because every time we do a show out here, someone's got one of those jerseys on, and I'm going, that's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe if you had a game room, you could frame it, you know, next to your pool table. Yeah. Next to your Papa shot.
This is why Bennett ends up getting everything.
Yeah.
Because Bennett will fit in. But usually I think XL is kind of the biggest they'll go.
I don't think Bennett would wear the LSU thing, though.
Oh, no. That's fair. He probably wouldn't.
You throw that thing up on the wall. I mean, you got that whole podcast background studio deal. Just add it to the cool sports stuff.
It's a good studio background.
That's a really good idea. I would like to kind of – I'd like to wear it, though, because I see people walking around with them, and I'm like – man, that's cool. Those theme nights when they do the jerseys,
they're awesome.
They do them great around here. And I'm kind of thinking like, okay, if I do this, if I commit to it, it's probably going to cost me a couple $100, which is okay. It goes to the Rangers, hopefully paid players. But, you know, I'm not going to be able to benefit from walking around unless I just lose like 100 pounds.
Yeah, you won't get to flex. I get it.
Yeah.
I would say if you really wanted to go for it, you could find maybe one of those ladies down there in the Rangers Women's Club. I saw them on TV the other night. There's probably one in there that could open that thing up a little bit for you. You know what I'm saying? Get some nice – I know my mom could for sure.
Oh, and you
know?
Take the material and make it a little wider?
Take the material, open that thing up a little bit down the sides.
That's where we were going with that. That's exactly where I thought he was going the whole time.
I thought we were showing some stuff off.
No, I – you know what? So to maybe tailor the jersey.
Yeah,
you need to tailor. So this turns into like maybe – a $300 jersey.
I think
then,
so.
Right?
Expensive. Yeah. It'd be customized. She'd probably stitch your name on there for you while she's at it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't stitch my own name on there. Now, I you guys have seen my car. I do have license plates with my initials and my jersey number, my LSU license plates.
Yeah.
That's about as far as I go. I don't know if I'm going to. Now, I do remember the last time I let somebody wear one of my game jerseys.
Yeah.
Hellman at the national championship game, you know, against Clemson.
Yeah.
He had on my 1985 Sugar Bowl jersey.
And he was acting up, wasn't he?
And he was acting up, and people were probably thinking, who's this Jack,
all those Clemson
fans. Broadus is shrinking.
They're Googling that last name afterwards.
Like, this dude played? Tiny Jim?
That guy have a long snapper jersey on from the 80s.
Yeah. He was wearing it as a dress.
As a psychopath.
It was, man. That thing, for poor Dave, it was a dress. But he wanted to do it. But Dave also wanted to fight everybody in the state of South Carolina that night, too.
I do think, though, these jerseys are nice, though. And you would have, like, a lifetime game day Rangers representing LSU.
I'm kind of thinking that maybe the $300 might be worth it to have that experience.
I like the nice touch they threw in for Texas Tech night, though, with the Calamine lotion as part of the giveaway.
Yeah.
I thought that was just – that's a Rangers organization that knows that school.
Penicillin coupon.
Fellow teammate texting in here, Baskey, he said he'll get you one of these LSU Ranger jerseys. And Mike's
really?
Got the pull.
Yep.
Mike, I tell you what, Mike. You know what? I'll do something. If Mike's listening, I'll do something.
Oh, he's
nice.
Listening.
I'll do something back nice for Mike if it helps.
Mike's done a lot of nice things for us out here over the years.
Mike is. How about
dude.
When Mike was on TV in the early days and we'd walk by and just start yelling his name and he would just kind of smile and
smiling.
Yeah. He wouldn't like it. Wouldn't be like everybody's kind of like, what are these fools doing?
Yeah,
like, go get him, Baskey. Yeah, you're the man. You know, all that stuff like that.
So. Yeah, that was second favorite to when he would just bring us trays of Hurtado. I mean, he's got the hookup anywhere
he's
got
around here. He's kind of the mayor of this place.
He's the
right
famous
now.
Mike Bassick.
He's the mayor.
And congratulations to number. For RSN, they're through the roof.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, with the job Jared and Mike and Dave and everybody's
that's
doing,
great,
they're
man.
Crushing it, man. The broadcast has been outstanding, and it's carried over here to the pregame on 105 through the Fan. Of course, Eric and Hixie, they're the best, but it's really been cool. Like, it's worked out really well.
Team
the vision,
playing better, too. That's great.
No doubt. Yeah. Get this winning streak rolling.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for my first Bassick viral moment. I felt like during that losing streak, we might have been getting close, you know, to an eruption. You know, you hear some of these guys around the big leagues, they've been on the job for decades. They got a little bit of, you know, wiggle room, a little bit of elbow room or something. They're firing off takes. They're doing jokes. It's just a matter of time.
I thought it was hilarious the other day. You talk about, like, Lucius played John Kruk.
Yeah.
Telling his broadcast partner, I hope your son chokes, but I hope it's not fatal.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
When you have that kind of longevity, you can get away with saying stuff like that.
You know, he overcame a huge hurdle already when it comes to the Little League walk-off from the Giants game. That was one that I thought was really good.
Oh, you thought that was going to set him off?
I thought that was the moment where, but he kept his wits about him. He really did. Yep.
Did you guys see the Red Sox play last night? I've got the audio for it for Around the Bases.
Alley-oop or something?
Yeah, it was like, so you have one outfielder go up. It doinks off of him, but it was alley-oop style right into the glove of the other outfielder for a home run robbing out. It was an unbelievably crazy play.
That's chemistry.
The last time something like that's ever happened was 2003, so it wasn't a first, but a 9-8 fly out. It was unreal.
Is this the Boston call of this then?
Yes, this one will be a positive call.
So this will be the second day because we got the Baez walk-off homer where they had to have seven sponsors before they went off the air.
Yeah, it's hilarious, dude.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. And then they went on and on and on and on.
F this team.
We do have a Game 6 situation tonight, Stars and Jets.
Five.
My bad, Game 5, yes.
I'm looking out for you here.
Hopefully we're avoiding the Game 6.
Right.
Very difficult to eliminate a team on their home ice in general. I'm confident in the Stars, but I think we have to give the Jets their respect. And Winnipeg's been one of the most difficult places to win all year. Last time out, it was a shutout. So I'm going to end up picking Winnipeg tonight here, guys. I'm just trying to be objective, non-homer guy, as much as I believe in the Stars. Could happen. Can't pick it. How about you, Brian?
I'm going to pick the Stars tonight. I like what Wolchuk in the crosstalk was kind of offering there about Edmonton and rest. Dawson, I think you're on to something. Winnipeg only lost 7 games all year at home.
Dang.
Dallas did beat them there in Winnipeg, so I think that's something that you can kind of maybe hang your hat on a little bit. But I think Dallas, I think as much as Winnipeg is going to be desperate, I think Dallas is going to be even more desperate to end this thing tonight if they can.
I mean, last year we saw at points in the Thunder and T-Wolves series that at some point the Mavs had just neutralized everything and you broke them, right?
You break them, yeah.
Are the Jets broken, maybe?
Yeah, I think I keep talking about this. I think they look out there on the ice and they see their goalie and they're thinking like, man, we don't know if the home dude's going to show up or the road dude's going to show up. He's had moments where, you know, he's been really, really good, and then other times just terrible. And I think that is, you know, the one thing that Dallas can look at their netminder and say is, we know our guy's going to be there for us no matter what. If we take terrible penalties, give up odd man rushes, our guy's going to be there to have our back.
Oof. Okay, now with the Mavs, we have Tim McMahon coming up. I think the most interesting thing is, what moves do you make to optimize this deal now?
Yeah,
I like the Coby White talk with the Bulls, 20-point score. I'm seeing some Lonzo Ball talk.
Yeah, Mark Stein.
That's interesting.
I mean,
Stein would know.
I mean, if you want to tell me he's healthy.
The hurt players, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a number of players out there, and I just think at this point you have so many trade chips, the future picks. I mean, assuming you're not going to trade Cooper Flagg.
Have we just completely pivoted now on this basketball team?
Yeah, that's what getting the number one overall pick and a gift from the basketball gods does for you.
Especially in a year where you have one of the best prospects that we've seen in a long time. So yeah,
everybody's feeling crotch first
day
right now that Nico's back in good graces with everybody. Nico's going to have to make this deal. Nico's going to have to make the deal. You guys are all poo-pooing it right now.
No.
But he's going to have to make the call with the relationships and stuff. Did he pull himself out of the ditch?
Oh, for the guard?
Did the basketball gods save him here today?
I don't know. You know, we got to see signs that Dumont trusts him. You know, I think these next 6 weeks are very key. And, you know, if they do decide that, you know, Nico's going to be their GM moving forward, then I would trust him, yes. I think the Luka trade was one massive mistake in an otherwise good resume. Like, he's done a hell of a job finding the right kind of centers, the right kind of 3-and-D guys. You know, the team that he built was tremendous. Went to the finals with Luka. Lakers with LeBron couldn't even get out of the first round. So, you know, I love this. You got Anthony Simons, Cole Anthony, CJ McCollum. Like, I think the key is to find a guard that's going to play well with Kyrie once he gets back. So I don't really want a little guy who can only be a point guard.
So you want like a combo guard.
Boy, that'd be good if Brunson was still here, right?
Isn't Colin Sexton a guy that they've been linked to a bunch through the years?
Yeah.
That'd be another name that I'd monitor.
You know, Rozier has been linked to the Mavs a couple of times.
You guys are telling me there's a lot of quality guards out there.
Well, the dream is Drew Holiday. Like, if Boston really decided, okay, the Knicks finally knock him out, and Boston's like, okay, we can't financially keep all of this together, and Drew Holiday was a name that you could possibly pry away, I think that's the dream target.
East playoffs got interesting last night, didn't they? I know Chiefs got a rim session coming up, and we'll talk more basketball a little bit later on in the show. But Boston loses Tatum, benched Porzingis, insert Cornet, and they hold New York to 102, had just 26 points in the paint. And, you know, now you're looking at a situation where they're down 3-2, and if they can get Game 6 in New York, then – maybe they would at that point suddenly appear to be the favorite to go ahead and win that series. I do think there's some chemistry issues there. I still think there's enough with Boston. They don't need Tatum to be amazing to be dominant. We saw that last year in the finals. He wasn't great, but they were. So there's that. The Warriors are out of the playoffs, right as Steph Curry could have got healthy enough. That's tough. He's 37 years old, called it a gut punch. They were 23-8 after the trade for Butler. And I was rooting for them. I don't know who I'm rooting for now.
I don't know either.
To win this NBA,
it's
I guess.
So tough.
Indiana.
I guess.
I'm just me.
Indiana,
me.
Like Ricker Brunson.
I'm Carlisle guy.
And Halliburton's a local kid.
Yeah, I'm a Carlisle guy. I mean, he's always been cool to me. I'm just pulling for him.
I would have no
If I don't have a team
Indiana.
In the fight, I'm going to pull for him. You know?
All righty. We'll replay the G-Bag of the Day champ. Have a new champ. There was a vote-off last night. It went to a vote-off. Who was it? We'll replay that for you, then get to the top 10 coming up next. We'll check what's the subject matter.
Have we quietly had a passing of the torch with the Dallas Cowboys? Mm-hmm. We've got the top 10 primetime and revenge games of the upcoming 2025 season. Do you have a game you're most pumped for? That's next.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at the Globe. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Every day at 5:30, we deliver the G-Bag of the Day. We all vote, all five of us. And if there is a deadlock, it goes to a vote-off at G-Bag Nation, at G-Bag Nation. You can follow us all when you get there. All of our handles are in the bio. And yesterday, Lucius Truck Driver won that vote off 59-41.
Yeah, the truck driver was not a fan of how this young dude backed his car into a parking spot, which I'm always a big fan of, backing my car into a parking spot. If you see anything floating out there that you think we should be playing for G-Bag of the Day, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or like Dawson said, follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Here's our guy. Yeah, the truck driver jumped out of his truck to go confront this young dude for backing into a parking spot.
So let's see what you've done. You passed a parking place and backed in.
That's how you back into one.
No, you don't back in a parking place. That's illegal. I have a CDL class, say I'm a driver for a living.
You need to get back in your car, buddy.
And if I don't, what the
I'm going
if
inside.
If I don't, what the f*** you gonna do? Bitch,
what are you gonna do?
Say what?
What are you gonna do? Like it's a parking
spot. I beat
your
ass, punk ass bitch.
Oh, your breath stinks.
Yeah, and your mama's a hoe.
Oh, we gotta throw in the mama's a hoe.
Mama's a hoe.
Come on.
That got him. Man, this is some great trash talk. I would say just let us back in, okay? You know, backing in's nice. You know, maybe you should give it a shot, you know? I think
I backed in today here at my parking spot.
The problem here is the people with the issue of us backing in, yeah. Not the backing in. It's time to get Woolchuck's top 10 at 220. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you so much. A lot of fallout from the NFL schedule release as the Cowboys schedule is out. We've got a new Love of the Star podcast that Brian and I put out today. We went through and did our win losses. So go ahead, listen to that.
How many did you get?
Well, you know, you got to listen to the show to find out.
We try not to homer it up, Dawson.
It's a good tease.
We really did try not to homer
you
it up.
You tried not to
you hit
homer
eight.
It
hey,
up.
I'll tell you we what, we even put a loss after, at the Meadowlands against the Jets, so there was no homering up
yeah.
in this.
You guys got them over under the 7.5?
Over. And honestly, over. I think that's a stone cold lead pipe lock bet.
Oh, wow.
I'd go over the 7.5 on this. That's just disrespectful.
No, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
They won 7 games without Dak Prescott last year.
After Walchuk calling the pop-up year for the Commandos, I feel like you got this one. He's just as confident in this Cowboys pick right now. He just went stone cold lead pipe lock on.
I'm confident in it.
On our faces.
There is going to be a 3-week stretch where the Cowboy post game show probably won't be very good to listen to.
Yeah, that 3 weeks.
And why is that?
You got Eagles, Chiefs, Lions. Those were all L's.
Okay, there you go. There's some honesty in there.
Little tease for 320. I think health could play a significant factor, and I think Vegas knows it.
Okay. Well, maybe this thing is scripted then. Vegas is projecting ahead on the health here because that could be a big problem. That
I don't think they're scripting.
Big problem.
I think they're knowing.
They're knowing?
Yep.
They're knowing. They've
yep.
seen it.
Yep.
They've read it.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas, though, I think that I'm just kind of reading between the lines on some stuff here. Yesterday, the Cowboys, and shout out to Derek Eagleton and the whole media team there with DallasCowboys.com, they streamed from, it was like 1 o'clock until 7, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Osa Digizua, Tyler Smith, and then Stephen Jones making an appearance. Here was Stephen basically learning what a chat was for the first time on social media. If you're a streamer, this is a new thing. Like, chat, what's up, chat? Hey, chat. CeeDee's all about this, but here was Stephen Jones with a couple of the Cowboys players.
Chat, what y'all gotta tell our man? Come on.
Who is this?
This is the chat. This is all your fans. All your fans.
Hey, appreciate you guys following these, man. How blessed are we to have these four men on our team?
Roman. Fine, man.
And we got them all running mates.
It's a homie on the other side.
You get a dog.
You get a meal.
Got them all running mates. He got Pickens for CD. He went ahead and got my guy Joe Toia for
JT.
Yeah, we'll just call him JT. That's fine with me.
Yeah,
the Haka man himself. Yeah. He's going to be playing there alongside next to Osa. You got Donovan Ezeraku across from Micah. You got Booker along with Tyler Smith. But I just think, I mean, our buddy Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, he put this out after the Pickens trade that really Stephen Jones' fingerprints has been all over this offseason. Mm-hmm. And Jerry, who's listening here on the home of the Cowboys and he drives around, he's probably going to – maybe he calls in and he says, well, Chuck, you're a dumb A. Shut the hell up. But
– he's done that before.
He has, many times.
Not since Mike left the show, but
– I think this is – this is the Cowboys are never going to officially come out and say anything. We've been kind of long considering how much is Jerry really doing. And I still think Jerry has say. But this is now Stephen Jones, Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion.
I think that, honestly, Zach, I think this has been done for a while. But I think we're starting to see, you know, Stephen being out front more. You know, you had some of the press conferences, the pre-draft. Jerry's always going to be involved. Post-draft, he's going to be involved in those. I think the day-to-day operations really has been in Stephen's pocket. And I think Will's now taken an even bigger role. Of course, Charlotte, Jerry Jr. are going to be involved the way they are. But this is something that maybe that we're starting to see that hey, Stephen is going to handle more of the out front stuff, even though that Jerry, there's some staples that he's always going to cover.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we're going to start to see even more now with Stephen. But I think that it's kind of been this way for a little bit. But it's just now people are catching up with it.
All right, let's get into some of the top tens here. We've got the top 10 best revenge games on the 2025 NFL schedule and primetime games. The Chiefs did tie a record with most primetime games awarded to a team. They're going to be playing a bunch, as they should. I mean, I do think the NFL wants to see their stars, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and maybe it's the last year Travis Kelce. We're kind of going, you know, year to year. On that right
There's
now.
There's going to be some situations that come up that are going to deal our sponsors some bad games in these primetime moments.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of going into the season, let's put our prime properties here as much as we can to maximize revenue. And I think, you know, it might be tough for the other teams, right? Because I'd be like, wow, you know, the Chiefs and Cowboys and Patriots, everybody loves them, and now we got to have them more. But I mean, this is the reality of sort of the dog-eat-dog world of television programming. You know, everybody's in a fight. We might have just seen the NBA rig a trade of Luka to the Lakers mm-hmm. to save their TV package, mm-hmm. guys. You know, it's no time for, you know, if equal opportunity for all of our partners. It's time for maximizing TV ratings.
It's ratings, absolutely. Yeah. 8 primetime games for the Chiefs. We know about the Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day. They got 2 Monday night games. They've got the season opener, then they've got a couple other more Sunday nighters. I mean, they're littered throughout this thing when it comes to primetime. And then the 325, like America's Game of the Week window, they'll, of course, be there. But in terms of NFL.com, Jeremy Bergman, he said these are the top 10 primetime games. The honorable mention was Packers-Steelers, because that could be Aaron Rodgers, and that is right now a Sunday night game. And that game is in Pittsburgh. It is not in Lambeau.
Mm.
But it would be the Green Bay Packers going to Pittsburgh to take on potentially Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, the one and only time he will ever face his former team in the Green Bay Packers. That's Sunday, October 26th, right now, Sunday Night Football.
I feel like that being on the schedule is the biggest thing that is making him want to return and play.
Yeah, I could see that, absolutely. And tomorrow, we're not going to have time for it today, but maybe we'll get to Jim Nantz, who is literally pleading for an Aaron Rodgers return, because I guess CBS Sports' schedule is littered with a back half a lot of Steeler games. He's like, man, if Rodgers isn't a Steeler, these are probably going to stink. So please, God, show up and play and give us something to talk about. Number 10 is the opener. You've got Cowboys at the Eagles. I thought this would be a little bit higher. 9, you've got Chiefs and Jags, Monday night game. I don't know really why that would be ahead of Cowboys and Eagles, but it is.
Travis Hunter,
probably.
Travis Hunter?
I mean, sure. And it's early in the season, so maybe Jacksonville is you know, a competitive football team. Monday night, October 6th. But, yeah, I guess it's the Travis Hunter effect, which is fair. I mean, I'm interested to see what Travis Hunter's doing, but that's not over Eagles-Cowboys. Come on, dudes.
No, the ratings will say very few things are going to beat Eagles-Cowboys, but maybe for fan interest, for folks that are really into the NFL, you know, these things are of more interest going into the season.
Monday night, Bengals and Broncos. That could be a really good one. This is early in the season, too, so hopefully, like, Joe Burrow is ready to rock.
Sometimes Cincinnati isn't ready to play football the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
They have had some slow starts. This is Monday night, September 29th, week 4. So maybe they've knocked the rust off, but that's a good point. They have started slow. Eagles at Packers. That is week 10, Monday night football. We got Broncos at Chiefs.
Was that, let me circle back that Brazil game of Eagles Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Anything stand out about that one for anybody? I mean, I'm just asking. I don't know. I'm not trying to lead the witness here, but why did I feel like that wasn't really a great game?
Oh, it ended up being pretty good. I think the Packers kind of pooped themselves a little bit. They were turning the ball over, but then again, didn't they lose in the wild card round to Green Bay or to Philadelphia this past year? Didn't they just play in the playoffs again?
Yeah, okay.
So there's a little bit of history there between the teams.
Sure.
But Denver and Kansas City, that's really become the big rivalry. Like, I know Kansas City and the Chargers, they've kind of wanted that, and they've had some good games. But Denver now seems like, with that defense, with Sean Payton, those are the two right now.
Yeah.
And Denver has had some upsets over Kansas City. So I'm excited for that. That'll be Thursday on Christmas Day. You've got Bears and Commanders. That's the rematch of the Hail Mary game.
Yeah.
Chargers and Raiders. Pete Carroll, Harbaugh, the old 49ers Seahawk rivalry. Now you've got that, plus the new-look Raiders with Genty and Geno Smith. Washington and Kansas City. Jaden Daniels versus Patrick Mahomes. That is going to be fun.
Ooh, yes, please.
Monday that game night. Played in Kansas City?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Monday night, October 27th. Then you got Lions-Eagles, who we thought would be the NFC Championship game last year. Didn't happen. That's Sunday night in November. But number one primetime game, Ravens-Bills, Sunday night football to open the season. That is absolutely juicy.
An absolute home run of his schedule and a top 10 there. You know, back to that Stephen Jones topic, when I first started covering the Cowboys in 2010, Stephen was like first starting to pop up when they do the State of the Cowboys press conferences, end of the season, start training camp or whatever. And I remember asking CA, like, hey, is Stephen somebody we should think about having on the show?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, he doesn't do it that much. And when he does, it's really generic. Like, he's trying not to make any mistakes. So Stephen, at that point, was not – and I would say, more of what Brian said is that it seems like every year it's just been a little bit more incremental.
Sure.
And I think maybe it was last year or the year before it that all, you know, Jerry hadn't made a public appearance in like 6 weeks at one point.
Right.
And but you know, this particular off season, I would say it's a ramp up in spending than the last year. And when I think of Stephen Jones, I think of we're afraid to spend money. We are super, super cap conscious. And I don't know. It still wasn't a lot this year. What was it, $39 million? They were third to last in the league.
But at least they tried to do things where he always says, we're 24/7 player personnel. No, you're really not. You're more like 2 days when you only do draft and that kind of thing. You know, they actually tried to trade this year, and they got it done. They tried to sign some guys. Yeah, it wasn't $50 million in players and all that. But they made some wise decisions so they wouldn't go in to the season just completely like, well, they had a draft, but they still got 6 spots that they got to fill. I kind of felt like that they went in with the attitude of like, hey, we got some guys, let's draft our board, and if we can wait for some June 1 guys, we might do that too.
It's drastically better than last year. Last year, I don't think they made the team any better in the offseason.
I don't know how you could compete in a division where the guy at the top of the division is always doing it, and you're going to sit there and just kind of just, you know, paddle around in circles.
Yeah, well, the answer is you can't compete. They have to be more aggressive.
You can't. You've got to be just as – maybe you have to take the same approach he does, but you can't just sit there and think that doing it just one way is going to work. You've got to be more aggressive than even he is.
I do feel like it sucks that he's doing that, you know, the way as aggressive as Roseman is. It's not only a problem for the Cowboys, though. It's most of the league. If Roseman continues and Lurie wants to be committed like this and, you know, creating extra revenue streams to pay for players and, you know, depend on the cap going up in the future to sort of give you that cushion, it's a very unique strategy and it's working very well for them.
Howie just lost his right-hand guy to the Raiders.
That's right, his draft guy.
Yeah, his, like, assistant GM type guy that was really kind of maybe the Will McClay. Howie's the aggressive, but Howie's got guys that know personnel, that know the players. Yeah. He just lost his top lieutenant to the Raiders.
Literally today, right?
Well, no, this was probably a week ago.
Oh, okay.
They maybe made an announcement, but there were circled. It was that his guy left to go to the Raiders.
It's like one last draft, and then on he goes.
And that's, so we'll see if the Eagles are able to maintain their level up. They probably got some young guy like John Snyder was for us in Green Bay sitting there grinding on tape, and the next thing you know, you put him in there, and he's a star at evaluating players.
But there's another NFC team that's been an Achilles heel to the Cowboys. The 49ers now are also getting into this minority selling of the ownership stake. So they're going to sell 6% of the team. The evaluation now is worth over $8.5 billion for the San Francisco 49ers, but you've got three families.
So they're going to get $500 million cash.
Yeah, between three families that are all coming together now to buy that 6% of the Niners.
And then you use that money to pay for signing bonuses and contracts and then push the salary cap hit into the future, and it gives you a temporary massive advantage.
Yeah.
So why were they so tight with their budget this offseason? They're clearing the decks and getting Purdy under contract and then deploying the cash once they have a couple of good drafts.
Yeah.
Man, I would love to see or believe the Cowboys might have a chance of doing something like that, but the way that they love this brand and what they've grown into an empire, I can't imagine them entertaining even selling a single percent of it.
Yeah.
Not as long as they have the ability to draw from Blue Star stuff.
Yeah.
You know, not there's some of their other – they're able to take the cash from some of their other businesses that's made them have the ability to pay out the signing bonuses. You know, I know back in the day, the DeBarlow family, when Eddie DeBarlow and the team, they were a big, malls and stuff like that. They had a lot of real estate stuff. I don't know if the DeBarlows now have turned into more, the sister has turned into more of a football operation. If you're just the football operation, you just don't have a lot of that extra cash laying around like the Cowboys do.
All right, we got to run. Leah Asimakopoulos, Stars beat writer, joins us next here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Just got delivered from one of the Rangers ushers here some kind of pecan bread. Excited about that. Excited about Leah Asimakopoulos joining us here in just a second from the morning news. She's live in Winnipeg. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Rangers Astros tonight. Pregame coming up at 6:30. Sporzy's going to join us. Sporzy's about to throw a bullpen down there for the first time in a while. You know, he's coming back from the shoulder, and that would be amazing to see him in a Rangers uniform out here soon. But let's talk Stars, Jets, Game 5 tonight in Winnipeg, and Leah joins us now here on The Fan. And a good evening. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How's Winnipeg? Are they keeping the faith alive there around the town, or what kind of a vibe are you getting from them?
Yeah, it's been a little quiet this morning. It was raining here, so their big white party that they have outside might be getting rained out, which I'm sure they're not going to be too happy about. But, you know, this fan base has gone through a lot here, so I think they're hopeful to at least get one more win this season.
Yeah, if I'm the Jets, I'm pretty confident, right? Things are going to normalize back at home. It's just our road situation, and we'll think about that here in a couple of days. So we just got to win a road game, and things should be fine. Would you find confidence in that if you're objectively analyzing here the Jets' outlook?
Yeah, I mean, they've been great at home all year, and, you know, they do just need to win a road game, but it's obviously they have a big climb to come out of a 3-1 hole. I mean, the Stars, I think, should feel pretty good in the position that they're at. That game four the other night, just given their position in the series, was a critical one. And, you know, to go up 3-1, you got to feel pretty good. But obviously, you know, game six, if it goes to that, is going to be the one that matters the most for them. But, you know, they knowing that Edmonton is done now, they're advancing to the Western Conference Finals. I'm sure the Stars would like to get out of this round as quickly as possible.
That was my thoughts exactly there, Leo. Like, with Edmonton now, you don't want to give them added rest. But with the Stars and how amazing that home ice has been, the AAC, the fan base has just been exceptional. Even from the TV, you can just hear how loud it is in that building. How does it compare to Winnipeg, who also, it does seem pretty electrifying? I mean, they do the white out there. They don't know how to do a pump-up song, Leah. But I imagine the experience there in Winnipeg's pretty badass.
It is. I mean, it's hard to compare. It kind of feels like apples and oranges a little bit. I mean, yes, American Airlines Center has been unbelievable, and it always does really ramp up for the Stars playoffs. And, you know, the environment was awesome the past couple of games. But I've compared the Winnipeg environment a lot to a kind of college football feel, you know, whiteout, Penn State kind of feel to it. Mm. It's, you know, that's what they have here. This is their everything, and you can really tell. And it's been kind of a tortured fan base in the playoffs, and you could just see how much they want, you know, something to root for. And I think the home ice advantage helps them, and that's probably why it's so impressive the Stars were able to at least steal one game here, and we'll see if they can do another one tonight.
Leah, which team has to survive the first 10 minutes better, do you think? Because I just feel like that if Winnipeg looks at the other end of the ice and they look at their netminder, they're kind of thinking like, man, we really don't know what game we might get from him tonight. And where on the other end, I think the Stars are kind of like, listen, our guy can withstand whatever mistakes we might make. But which team has to withstand the first 10 minutes of this game?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think the Stars do. I think, you know, we saw the response that Winnipeg had after going down 1-0 and losing a game at home in the series, how they responded early in game two. I mean, 7 minutes into that game, they were up 2-0 after a costly penalty 17 seconds in, and then a shot that went off Esa Lindell's skate and in. So, you know, the Stars can't find themselves in another early hole like that, and they know that, you know, Winnipeg is going to push early, and their entire season is on the line at this point. So, yes, I think the goaltending situation is interesting, and the Stars can definitely rely on Jake Oettinger, and he's bailed them out a lot. But, you know, they need to play just a solid road game, few mistakes, and the first 10 minutes are going to be pretty important.
Getting you set for Game 5 tonight in Elizabeth, Jets and the Stars with Leah Simakopoulos, the Dallas Morning News. So I saw you put out they're running with the same line tonight. So we're going 11-7 again, and do you anticipate with Miro kind of getting his legs back, is that going to be a long-term thing for the rest of the postseason, or is this just until he's ready to rock for a full 30 minutes of ice time or whatever it is?
Yeah, I don't anticipate it to be the rest of the postseason. I mean, maybe the rest of this round, as long as it goes. Maybe, you know, if it ends tonight, a game or two against Edmonton. I mean, they liked how he looked in the first game. Obviously, he wasn't his total normal self, but, like, for the most part, you know, he did what he needed to do in his 15 minutes. And Pete DeBoer said this morning, you know, he felt great after 15 minutes, so we'll give him a little more tonight and go from there. And, you know, hopefully within two, three games from now, he's back to his 25-plus minutes a night.
You have an article out now about the increased contributions from a couple other Stars. The line that's really stood out to me, and I wonder your thoughts, is, you know, Marchment, Duchesne, and Sagan. And there were moments early in the season where it seemed like Duchesne and Marchment stepped up as the best players at times. Yeah. They've been taking some bad penalties, whether it was Sagan the other night, Marchment throughout the playoffs at times. But Duchesne just seems so close, just doinking right off the post there. Well, what do you think about that line getting it going?
Yeah, I mean, that I think could be a huge game changer for them. I think all three of those players have kind of another level to find. And as you mentioned, we saw it earlier in the regular season. They were not only the best line on the team, but one of the best lines in the entire league before Sagan had his hip surgery. So, you know, they obviously have a lot of chemistry, a lot of history. Duchesne has been a factor. I mean, he set up the game-winning goal in Game 7 for Wyatt Johnston. Like, he's had his moments. And Pete DeBoer was asked about it, and he said, you know, he's not too concerned about Matt Duchesne. He feels like he's, you know, he's had a presence. But, yeah, he's right there. And he scored over 30 goals in the regular season, so they could certainly use a few from him. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of time before that line really gets going, too.
Leah, how impressed are you that Zach is able to break into a Canadian accent when he asks you a question?
Love it. I'm not there yet.
I didn't even notice
him. He's pretty good. We got Bully Melrose is who we're dealing with now, if you didn't know this.
It's true.
That's great.
Well, speaking of different countries, Leah Simakopoulos, morning news with you here in the G-Bag Nation. How prevalent is this Finnish connection? Obviously, we talk about it a lot here. Is this like the official team of Canada now? Give us like the nation, the big view of this.
Oh, I mean, I think, yeah, there's going to forever be just this unspoken bond between the country of Finland and the city of Dallas. I mean, it's been pretty incredible what that group has been able to do, and you know, as trivial and silly as it sounds, you know, they've attributed a lot of the success that some of those players like Rantanen and Granlund have had to just like feeling comfortable in the locker room, coming in and knowing there's other Finns. And it's not just other Finns, but it's like Finns that they've played with before in international competition and juniors and all sorts of levels. So, you know, Rantanen comes in and plays on a line with Roope Hintz, and they know each other well, and it's just, you know, you speed up that process a little bit. So I think it does go a long way, and it's not insignificant, and there's a reason that Finnish players want to come play here, because it's a great place for them to play, and you know, they have a little group, and you know, they all really love to play with each other. So yeah, I think the whole city of Dallas has the country of Finland to thank right now, for sure.
Leah, what do you have to say to a Stars fan who's at the AAC witnessing a hat trick right in front of their eyeballs? They're wearing a hat and they don't throw it. They walk out of the building, they're still wearing their hat. How much judgment do you have for that fan?
I would have judgment if it hadn't happened three times this year. I mean, people have probably spent hundreds of dollars in hats at this point. I guess one of them happened here in Winnipeg. But, yeah, at this point, you know, it's going to just happen every other night. So you got to budget for some new hats. That's what I'd say to them.
How much is the storyline? Is this more media-driven, or do you think there's really something to this between Ottinger and Hellebuck and the starting goalie for the U.S. team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely media-driven, but I will say that Ottinger we've asked him a lot about it, and for the most part, he's kind of said, I haven't thought at all about it, but he did a post-game interview with Sportsnet the other night and did say, beyond winning a Stanley Cup, his number one goal is to be the U.S. starter next year. So he's definitely thinking about it, and I mean, this has, obviously, they're both teams are playing in this series to, you know, advance in the playoffs to win a Stanley Cup, but Pete DeBoer talked about it yesterday and said, if you're, you know, putting Team USA together, he's been on a lot of Team Canada teams before, you're watching the playoffs and you're seeing, you know, how are these players reacting and responding, because, you know, when you're going into the Olympics, you're basically bypassing a regular season. It's like immediately showing up to the playoffs. So, you know, what Connor Hellebuck did in the regular season really won't matter as much if the stakes are as high as they are in the Olympics. So I do think this series is going to play a role in that. And I mean, Ottinger's been the outright better goalie, and I don't think there's much question about it.
How big of a role does it play that it's hard to eliminate a team on their home ice? Is that real?
It's hard to eliminate a team, period, especially the President's Trophy winners, especially on home ice. So, yeah, I think it's definitely real. I mean, the Stars had a chance to do it in Colorado in the first round and weren't able to do it. Kind of similar to last year. They had a chance to do it in Vegas in the first round, didn't, and went to seven. Then the second round, they did do it in Game 6 in Colorado. So hopefully they can learn from what they weren't able to get done in Colorado and turn things around tonight.
Thank you, ma'am. Enjoy your evening, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks so much.
Leah Simakopoulos, Morning News, Dallas Stars writer, live in Winnipeg, where a very anxious Jets fan base hopes to cheer their team on tonight. Stars hope to come on home and get a little rest here before the conference finals. Top stories of the day coming up next here. We'll look at this Rangers matchup, the latest with the Cowboys schedule, and more coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.